This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will be another adapted OrthoBullets Core webinar from the OrthoBullets Core curriculum, and this one will cover the topic of femoral neck fractures from the trauma section. The topic will be reviewed by Dr. Bo Mason, who is a joint replacement surgeon at Ortho Carolina Hip and Knee Center.
72-year-old female sustained a displaced intracapsular femoral neck fracture and asks which of the following is true regarding the long-term differences between possible treatment options for this injury. So the answer here is patients undergoing total hip arthroplasty are less likely to require reoperation than those undergoing internal fixation. And what this question reflects is that elderly patients with femoral neck fractures that have fixation of those displaced intracapsular fractures are at a relatively high risk for having reoperation as a result of loss of fixation. So to review the femoral neck fracture literature, let's first begin by discussing the associated injuries that can occur with patients that suffer intertrochanteric fracture, or rather femoral neck fractures. There's a high degree of femoral shaft fractures, 69%. And these patients have a high mortality rate, anywhere between 25 and 30% have been reported. And the predictors of that mortality are the pre-injury mobility, how significant they are impaired. And additionally, patients with chronic renal failure have higher mortality rates. And that's one of the questions that we've seen relatively frequently. Looking at the anatomy, the main blood supply to the femoral head comes from the medial circumflex vessel. There are other contributors, but a displacement of the femoral neck can disrupt that blood supply. When you look at classification of femoral neck fractures, we classically look at the Garden classification system, broken down in types 1 through 4. But you can simplify that by looking at displaced versus non-displaced fractures. Those that are displaced typically will have one type of management versus the ones that are non-displaced consider opposite. In addition to the degree of displacement, we can look at the angulation of the fracture line. And that's the Powell's classification. In patients that have a very vertical fracture from the horizontal, more than 50 degrees, are at higher risk of both avascular necrosis and non-union. When we look at this question, this is from the hip module, question number 19, 85-year-old female with an isolated left hip pain. She describes a non-syncopal fall, and it occurred 4 hours ago. A physical examination reveals pain with rolling of the hip, and she's unable to bear weight on that leg. The radiologist reports available to you, and it shows no evidence of fracture. So in this circumstance, you can see both a plain radiograph and a CT scan that's been obtained, and there's no obvious disruption of the trabeculae and no obvious fracture. So the answer, what they're asking you to do is give you what the next best treatment step would be, and that's going to be an MRI of that hip. An MRI has been shown to be able to detect occult fractures earlier than bone scan and with better spatial resolution. So for situations in which an MRI is not immediately available, bone scan can be used, but it's really not going to show evidence of the fracture for about 72 hours. If you look at radiographic evaluation of the patient with a femoral neck fracture, CT scan can be helpful in determining the degree of displacement and comminuted fractures in some patients, but it's not it's not what we would normally first reach. Typically, we're going to look at our plain radiographs, both an AP pelvis and a cross table lateral. That will help us with the degree of displacement. And as previously mentioned, the bone scan can be helpful to rule out a occult fracture that's more than 72 hours old. And when we talk about late presentation, there are going to be questions or can be questions about the potential for evaluation in that circumstance. Patients that are delayed in presentation with hip fractures are at a higher risk for the development of DVT, and consequently duplex scanning is indicated. In this question, looking at femoral neck fractures, a 70-year-old patient with Parkinson's disease who sustains a fall onto his hip. He denies any history of antecedent pain and is otherwise healthy. The radiograph of the affected hip shows a displaced femoral neck fracture. You can see pretty profound arthritis on his left side as well. And the question focuses on the best treatment for this patient and asks what that would be. And in considering the question, the thing that is most remarkable about the history is not only the displacement, but the fact that the patient has Parkinsonism. So he is at relatively high risk for dislocation if he were to have treatment other than hemiarthroplasty. So the selection here is for hemiarthroplasty, neurologic conditions. When you look at treatment for femoral neck fractures, open reduction and internal fixation is almost always recommended as a first-line treatment in physiologically young patients. And that can be defined in a number of different ways. You can proceed with cannulated screw fixation, but in these displaced femoral neck fractures in young patients, it's considered a surgical emergency. In those patients with more complex fracture patterns, a sliding hip screw or cephalomedullary nail may be considered, particularly those that have a basicervical fracture or in which the fracture pattern is more vertical. Again, hemiarthroplasty, typically reserved for the debilitated elderly patient. And in patients that are more active, you can consider total hip arthroplasty. It's more predictable with regard to pain relief, better functional outcomes than hemiarthroplasty, but it's usually reserved for patients under 85 years of age and in whom were community ambulators before. If you look at techniques for cannulated screw fixation, three screws have been shown to be superior to two screws, and the orientation of those is an inverted triangle. It also is better if you can place those three screws closer to the calcar and in a lower aspect of the femoral head. And the starting point for that most inferior screw should be at or above the level of lesser trochanter to avoid a risk of fracture in the subtrochanteric area. Looking at hemiarthroplasty, posterior approach shows a slightly higher risk of dislocation. Anterolateral approach is complicated by increased or the potential for increased abductor weakness. And most theories show that cemented is superior to uncemented techniques in this osteoporotic patient cohort. Looking at total hip arthroplasty, again, improved functional hip scores and lower reoperation rates compared to hemiarthroplasty, but that's punctuated by a higher risk of dislocation, which can be up to 10% in some series, five times higher than hemiarthroplasty. Complications that can occur from femoral neck fractures include osteonecrosis, which can occur up to 10 to 45% of the time, and it increases in instance with the degree of displacement of the initial fracture. And older patients with displacement, prosthetic replacement, either hemiarthroplasty or total hip arthroplasty is a recommended treatment of choice. Again, looking at complications, patients can suffer from a non-union. That can occur anywhere from 5 to 30%. And it, again, also corresponds to the degree of displacement of the fracture. When a non-union does occur, one potential treatment option is to consider an intertrochanteric osteotomy, which is a valgus osteotomy or Powell's osteotomy. Prevascular fibular grafting, even in the presence of avascular necrosis within the femoral head, can be considered. And in older patients or those with a completely non-viable femoral head, arthroplasty is indicated.
That's all for this review on femoral neck fractures. If you would like access to the full video version of these core webinars, sign up for the OrthoBullets core curriculum today. There will be a link in the show notes for anyone who is interested. Look out for questions related to this topic on this weekend's question session, and hopefully this episode will have prepared you for that review. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.